of Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read the 28th verse. You probably know it by heart. You probably have it committed to memory. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. And I would ask you to stand when you find that in your Bible. I hope you do bring your Bibles to church. Amen. You don't go to a restaurant without an appetite, so I don't hope you don't bring your Bibles or you come to church without your Bible. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to take a text scripture this morning, or text thought, when bad things happen. That's what I want to preach about this morning. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I tell you what, I want to say this just right before I get into the sermon. I know you folks have been praying for me, and I appreciate it, and I want you to redouble your efforts, but I just want you to know that your preacher feels your prayers. God has been dealing in my heart lately, and I've been coming into this church knowing before I ever even get here that I'm zeroed in, I'm on target, because God has let me know that. And it's because of your prayers and your love and your receptive spirit. And don't quit doing that, because that's what we want. We want God to move in all aspects of what we're doing. Amen? Please, keep praying for your preacher. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for another privilege you've given us, Lord, to be in this house. God, for all those that you've put in this place today, Lord, we've learned to love them so, Lord. And Father, I just pray, God, that you would just once again overshadow us with your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you'd move in the ways that we need for you to move in our lives today, God. Lord, in a congregation this size, undoubtedly there's somebody here today that doesn't know you, Lord, as their personal Savior. I'm praying for that one soul today, God, or how many it may be, that you'd touch their heart through this sermon and through the songs and whatever is done, and Lord, draw them under conviction to you, God. Lord, in this congregation this size, there are those who are facing decisions that they don't know the answer to, God. I lift them to you in prayer. Lord, there are those in a congregation this size, Lord, who are bearing about the burdens of the world, God. I pray today, Father, that through this sermon, you'd lift those burdens. Lord, I pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this place today, Lord. God, anoint me, please, afresh and anew, to do what I know you've called me to do, Lord, to preach this blessed gospel. God, I feel you already in this place. I feel your power. I see your love, Lord. And I bless your name, God, for what you are doing in this little place, God. And God, I thank you, Lord, that although it's bigger than me and it's bigger than others, Lord, it's not bigger than you, and you are in control of all things, God. Bless your name for that, Lord. Again, I ask you to have your way today. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. When bad things happen, in his book, In the Eye of the Storm, Max Lucado relates the following story about Chippy the Parakeet. I want you to listen to this and listen closely. I'm just going to read it. Chippy the Parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when, shoop, Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart." Amen. Many that will hear this sermon today know just how Chippy felt. The events of your life have caused you to feel sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The events of life have a way of stealing the song from the strongest heart. And if the truth be known, there are those under the sound of my voice today that have allowed the events of your life to steal the song of joy from you. Psalms 137:3 says, it tells of a time when Israel was carried away captive and her captors required of her a song. And this is what they said: "For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion." In other words, the captors of Israel were saying, "Let us hear you sing the praises of God now that the bottom has fallen out of your life." You know, it's not hard to praise God when all things are going good, is it? It's not hard to praise God when you're surrounded by folks that's just uplifting Jesus. But let me tell you something. When life breaks down in your life, and it will do that from time to time, then is when we really must praise the Lord. Amen. The devil is saying, in essence, he said, "Come on, Chippy, sing now. Now that you done been sucked in, washed up, and blown over, come on, let me hear you sing about your Jesus now." Well, I'm glad to tell you this morning that I've got a Jesus that's worthy of my praise, whether I feel like it or not. Amen. And we need to just be praising God anyway. If for no other reason, just to make the devil mad. You really want to make him mad? When he takes his best shot at you, look at him and you go say, "You crazy preacher," but that's all right. Look at him, make a face at him and go, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, praise God anyway."
Hate it when he does that.
Let me assure you that bad things do happen to good people. Let me assure you that bad things happen to Christian people. Christian friend, it's not a matter of if you're going to face difficult times. It's only a matter of when you're going to face them. And I submit to you that we, despite our condition, should be singing anyway, praising God anyway. Now you listen to me this morning. If you're sitting in this congregation today feeling like Chippy, stunned by the events of your life, hey, amen. Anybody in that boat this morning stunned by the events of your life, sucked in by the world, washed up by the world, blown over by the world? The devil's took his shot and he's hit. He hit the bullseye. He hit it dead center. And you're reeling and you say, "What am I going to do, preacher? My life is in a spin. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. What am I going to do, preacher?" I tell you what you do. You reach deep down inside of you, get a double handful of Jesus, you suck it up and you go and you praise God anyway. He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, and he is worthy of your praise despite what you're walking through. My Bible says that God inhabits the praises of men. If you want God in your situation, regardless of how dark it is, praise him anyway. Amen. I hope before you leave this place today, if the devil's got your song,
you'll be singing a new one.
Amen. When bad things happen, I want to look at five truths about one of the greatest scripture promises we Christians have. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The very first thing I want you to see, and I hope you'll take notes on these. I hope you'll write them down. If you don't need them now, the time's coming when you will need them. Number one, how do we know what to do when bad things happen? This is it. Number one, we can be happy because we don't hope God is in control. We know He is in control. Woo! Listen to what that verse said. The very first three words. Now, most people quote this scripture and they'll say, well, God makes all things to work together for good. Those who love the Lord, called according to His purpose. That's the way most folks will quote it. And they leave off the first three words. And you know that most of the first three words are the most probably the most important things in there. It says, and we know. We do not hope so. We do not think so. We know. Amen. We know. You know, the problem though is there were too many Christians, they really don't know it. They're just hoping it. They're hoping God's in control. They're hoping God will work something good out of this. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of you are a lot further down the road than I am. You've seen many more things than I have. But I ain't a spring chicken either. I didn't get in this way yesterday. I got almost 25 years of service of the Lord under my belt. And I'm telling you something. I can stand before you today and I can tell you assuredly, I don't hope God is working everything in my life. I don't trust God is working everything. I don't believe God's going to work everything to good. Listen to me, honey. I know it. I know it. I know it. Woo! Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:24-28, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and naked, besides those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of the church. You talk about somebody that knew how Chippy felt. Paul knew how Chippy felt. But when he's writing to these Romans, hallelujah, he didn't say, Romans, I think God's going to work it all for good. He didn't say, Romans, let's just believe in God. Let us have faith that He's going to work it to good. Oh, no. You know what Paul said? Paul gave his resume. He said, I've been beaten. I've been in the deep. I've had everything happen to me that could happen to a man for God. And you know what he said? I know. I know that God's going to work it to good. Whew. Now, and we must know. Christian friend, despite your life circumstances today, despite the gloominess of your situation, you must know that God's working it for good. Three quick examples of folks who knew that. When old David stood before Goliath, what did he say? He said, you come to me with all this armor you got on, all these swords, spears, all the might you can put on. Do you know what he said? He said, but I come in the name of the Lord. He knew. He knew. Daniel in the lion's den. You know what? I believe he knew that God was going to work it together for good. He didn't hope so. He knew so. How about old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Went up to be thrown in the fire. You know what they told him? And I'm just going to put this in Aaron West Point English. They told the king, said, hey, the Lord may save us, the Lord may not. You can throw us in, that ain't going to change a thing, though, honey. And whether he chooses to save us or not, he can, and we're going to serve God, and we know that whatever the outcome is, God's going to work good out of it. You know where we get in trouble? Go with me, don't leave me. We get in trouble by thinking the only way God can work good out of our situation is if it works out like we want it to work out. Amen? But you know what? God knows what we need even when we don't know what we need. And God loves us even when we're stubborn and contrary. Amen? We have, you know how most of us pray? Oh, Lord, I've got a need, and here are the conditions I want you to work under. I want it this way, and that way. And, Lord, I'd like to have it by this time, and I want it wrapped this way, and I want so-and-so to give it to me, God. You know what we need to be praying? Oh, God, you are in control of my circumstances of my life, and whatsoever you choose to allow to happen, oh, Lord, I know it's going to work together for good, for you, for me, and, Lord, I just trust you. Amen. Friend, when bad things happen in your life, remember who is in control. And we should be rejoicing. Now listen to me. How many of you are like that little bird? Done just standing there minding your own business. Huh? Come on, go with it. All of a sudden, the devil turned the vacuum cleaner on. Shoop! There you went. Next thing you know, you're in the soot bag. Next thing you know, you done got stuck under the water faucet. Next thing you know, you're cold and miserable. And next thing you know, the old devil turns the hot air blower on you. You know what in the world hit you? Huh? You know what you ought to be doing? The whole time you ought to be clearing your throat. You ought to be saying, wait a minute, devil, let me get a little water here. And you ought to tell the devil, sing on, sing on. Sound dusty. Don't care, sing on. I take her to Aunt Margie this morning. She come through the door. She said, if you smell anything, it's me. Okay, thank you for sharing that with me. What are we talking about here? Said, I was pumping gas on my way down here, and it splashed back on me. And I said, I need to go change clothes. And I said, no, if I go, I ain't going to have time to go to church. And she said, devil, you ain't getting my blessing. I'm going like I am. Sing on anyway. Hey, don't get the idea you don't want to be in a dust bag. You know, that's one of the big problems we got. We get sucked into the devil's dust bag. We think we're the only one in there. Hey, your name ain't the Lone Ranger. You ain't the only one that's done this. There's more dogs in this building named Rover than you. Amen. Well, glory. Well, the second thing I want you to see out of this, God doesn't cause all things to happen, but he causes all things to work together for good. Some people mistakenly believe that God causes all things to happen, good or bad. Why do you think the secular world calls tornadoes and hurricanes and things acts of God? You know, they won't let you mention God in school, but when something bad happens, then they want to blame it on God. God does not cause everything to happen. Oh, but listen to me, Christian friend. For the Christian, he controls everything that happens. Cause, that word cause, means to initiate. But the word control means to have his hand upon. Now, all the things that happen in your life, God does not initiate them. Let me give you a little clue here. The devil initiates some of them. And let me take it one step further. You initiate a lot of them. And I do in my life. Well, glory. But God doesn't initiate everything. He just controls everything. Christian friend, why should we be singing? We should be singing because we don't hope in God. We know it. And because although God doesn't cause all things to happen, he controls everything that happens in our life. The third thing I want you to see, not all things are good, but God works all things together for good. Many people have no problem believing Satan can take something good and turn it into evil, but those same people have a hard time believing that God can take something evil and get something good out of it. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. The scripture teaches us that there are those times when we're going to have good things, and there will come times in our life of bad things. Let me slow down here a minute. How many of you realize that life is like a mosaic picture? Y'all know what a mosaic is? Those things are kind of like a mosaic, got a lot of colors in them. And when you're real close to a mosaic, you can't see what it is. But when you back off of it, then you can see the picture of what the mosaic represents. A mosaic has many colors. Now listen to me, I'm going somewhere with this. Our life is like a mosaic picture that God is painting. And there are all kind of colors in that mosaic. How many of you know that God uses bright blues in His mosaic? How many of you know He uses yellows? How many of you know He uses pink? How many of you know He uses white? How many of you know He uses happy colors in His mosaic? Huh? You know that? Let me ask something else. How many of you know God uses black in His mosaics? And every once in a while, there's some black colors in our life. There's some night seasons we must walk through. But God's making us into something beautiful when He does that. Paul said we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face. Christian friend, we should be singing today. Are you listening to me? We should be singing because we don't hope God is in control. We know it. Because God doesn't cause all things to happen, but causes all things to work together for good. And number three, not all things are good, but God works all things together for good. The fourth thing I want you to see this morning is God doesn't cause all things to work together for good for everyone, only those that choose Him. Now, I want you to listen to what I just said. A lot of folks misapply that scripture. And they say, well, God's making everything work together for everybody. That's not what that scripture said. He said He would make all things work together for good. For who? For those who love Him. The called according to His purposes. Those who've been born again. Those who serve Him. Without the hand of God on a person's life, molding everything, shaping His will, all we have in our life is ingredients. Now, I want you to listen to me a few more minutes. Without God's molding hand on our life, all we've got are the ingredients. Now, let me give you an example. Suppose you come knocked on my door. You say, Brother Aaron, I'm hungry. I said, well, come on in. I said, go over there in the counter. There's some vegetable oil in there. Bring it to me. And I poured it in the bowl and said, here, here's you some vegetable oil. Are you going to go away filled? No. What if you looked at me and said, Brother Aaron, that's vegetable oil. I said, oh, wait a minute. You're hungry. Go over there to the refrigerator and bring me an egg. And I cracked the egg and put it in there and give it to you. Now you got vegetable oil and egg. Are you going to go away filled? No, you ain't going to eat it. If you got good sense, you ain't anyway. What if I said, you're hungry? Well, go over there and get me some flour. And I come, I put a couple of cups of flour into that. I said, now you eat this. Are you going to eat it? No, you're going to still be just as hungry. Oh, what if I said, well, wait a minute, go get me some cornmeal. And we put the cornmeal in there. And I said, all right, now here, you eat this and you won't be hungry anymore. Are you going to do it? No, you're still there. But wait a minute. Now, a lot of you looking at me say, where is he going? The preacher's lost this. Oh, no, I'm going somewhere. But now, just suppose I take every ingredient I've given you, mix it together real good, turn the oven on, pour it in a pan, put it in the oven, and let the oven do its work, and then bring it back out and give it to you. And then what you going to have? You know what you're going to have? Cornbread. Amen. Yeah, what are you talking about, Brother Aaron? I'm saying this. That God is the one who takes all the ingredients of our life, whatever it is, and mixes it together. And honey, listen to me. God is that oven that does the transforming work in our life that takes us from raw ingredients to a finished product that is fit for the master's table. Yeah. Woo! Honey, I'm going to tell you what. You want some good eating, you get you some cornbread and some sweet milk and or buttermilk and a green blade onion and some pepper and sit down and eat a spell. It'll go, honey. Amen. For those of you in here that were not born and bred in the South, try it. You'll like it. It's called cornbread and milk. God is what transforms our raw ingredients. What are our raw ingredients, preacher? The things that happen in our life. You may look at your life and you say, my marriage is falling apart. It's an ingredient to make you who you are. You may look at your life and say, I don't have finances. It's an ingredient. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me this morning? Listen to this preacher. Those things that happen to you are not final things, nor are they you. They are the ingredients that God is gathering to make you who you are. And you say, Brother Aaron, I don't like the bad parts of it. We don't get a choice. We have to go. My Bible says that my God makes His rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. Good things happen to bad people. And I'm telling you, what are bad things happen to good people too? But God takes the ingredients to make us who we are. And I've been through some hard, you going with me on this? I've been through some hard knocks in my life. I've walked down roads for the Lord that I just soon never have walked down. I have been hurt until it's cut to the very quick. I have been hurt for the service of the Lord to the point where I've said, God, I'll never do that again. I'll never open that Bible again. I'll never preach. I don't want to do this no more, God. I don't want to do that no more, God. I've been hurt, but I tell you, I can stand before you this morning and assuredly tell you, I would not trade, looking back, I would not trade one bad thing that happened to me, because every ingredient makes me who I am today. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Sing, Chippy, sing. Woo! There ought to be some parakeets wanted up in this place today, because I know that God has sent this message this way for a reason. You've come into this place sucked in, washed up, and blown over. But let me tell you something. Sing, Chippy, sing. Oh, the devil says, you can't do this. It won't work out. Sing, Chippy, sing. Sing a song in a strange land. Whew. If I wasn't saved right now, I'd get saved. The fifth thing I want you to see, God's purpose is not just to make us happy, but His purpose is to make us like Him. Bible says something to this effect, that we don't know what we shall be like when He appears, but we know that we shall be like Him. And every day of our life, the ingredients go in. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them are the sweetness of the candy. Some of them are like castor oil. How many of you have had a castor oil? I swear my mom and daddy knew the cure to every disease before the doctors even knew they had the disease. I'm going to tell y'all what the cure for cancer is. I'm going to tell you what the cure for anything you got is. You know what it is? A dose of castor oil. My mom would look at me. If I didn't look just right, I'd look a little peaky. And she'd say, come here, young man. And I'd go, I'm telling you what. Them bad doses in life work good things. Let me tell you something. It's making us like God. Somebody in this place today, you've toted the weight of the world in here. And I know you have. God has spoken to me on this sermon just as clear as you're hearing me speak. This is the message for the hour this morning. You've brought the weight of the world in here. You need to realize it's only ingredients. It's all it is. And that you ain't, oh, bless God, He ain't through with you yet. You're still in the mixing stage. You're going to get plopped in the oven. I'm going to get raptured here in a minute. You're going to get plopped in God's oven. And He's going to turn the light in there one day and go, no, not good enough. He may come back an hour or two later, pull you out, look at you, kind of poke you a little bit. Say, no, not yet, not yet. But then there's going to come a day he's going to pull us out of the oven. Ooh. And it'll be the day we're standing before him. Come on, go with me. You know what he's going to say then? He ain't going to say medium rare. He ain't going to say medium well. You know what he's going to do? He's going to look at us and say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Woo! But you've come into this place today. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But I want you just to admit it, if it's so. How many of you have come in this place today and felt like Chippy? How many of you felt sucked in, washed up, and blown over? Say amen real loud.
Amen. Amen.
Devil will do that to you. But you know what our command is? To bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, I don't know where you're walking today. It's none of my business. It's between you and God. But I want you to do something with me. I've never claimed to be just right. Never have. But I want you to kind of tune up in a minute. I want you to get your vocal cords ready. But I want you to sing, Chippy. I want you to sing. The devil's done stole your joy and said, you don't have a song anymore. I want you to sing just to make a liar out of him. I want you to sing because God will inhabit your praises. Chippy, I want you to sing this morning. Say, that preacher's crazy. No, I ain't. I want every one of you to look at the partner beside you. Whoever, somebody sitting beside you. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to look at him and say, do it. Sing, Chippy, sing. Sing, Chippy, sing. The devil don't like you. Sing, Chippy, sing. Amen. Sing on, Chippy, sing on. Some of you, this is the first time you've sung and you don't know when. Because the devil's had your joy, but this morning you're smiling for the first time and you don't know when. You're enjoying God's sermon for the first time and you don't know when. So keep on singing, Chippy. Don't quit now. Sing on. Woo! Glory. Your marriage may be falling apart. Sing. Your children may be wayward. Sing. Hallelujah. You may be unemployed. Sing on, Chippy. You may be facing terrible sickness. Sing. You may be the subject of someone's gossip. Sing. You may be sucked in. Sing. You may be washed out. Sing. You may be blown over. Sing, Chippy. Sing. Whew. Hallelujah. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Let this fat boy get his breath. And I'm going to tell you why we sing. Help me. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because one day I'm going home where I will sing through all eternity. Oh, let's do that again. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. Is real to me. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because one day I'm going home where I will sing through all eternity. Sing, Chippy, sing. Amen. Heavenly Father, Your grace is real in this place today.
Father, you are about to change the lives of people who are gathered in this place today. And I praise you for that, Lord. Lord, in just a few moments, I just believe in my heart, Lord, that people that haven't been a knee around an old-fashioned altar, perhaps in some time, are going to make their way around this altar. And they're going to sing like Chippy, Lord. They're going to sing your praises. They're going to bless your name. Lord, they're going to lift up a voice of thanksgiving. Lord, I believe in the next few moments, Lord, that you're going to set the captive free, Lord, that they might sing. I believe you're going to give the downtrodden and the heartbroken a new song to sing, God. I believe you're going to save souls. I believe you're going to edify lives here in this place today. And I praise you because of it, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Everybody please stand and turn to page 70.